Welcome to Talking Transfers, a brand new show from the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by 90 Min's transfer correspondent, Graham Bailey, and 90 Min's top cat, Toby Cudworth. Graham, Liverpool losing in the Champions League final at the weekend. How did that, A, make you feel? Were you surprised by that? Were you expecting them to win? Did they do enough?
Obviously not as happy as you, Scott, at the outcome.
I'm very happy.
I did say on my preview pod, which I do, aside from this, that Madrid would win 2-1 and that Vinicius getting the better of Trent Alexander would be the key. And I think that that was key. I was surprised by how Ancelotti outdid Klopp tactically. Valverde was a genius move putting him there. And yeah, although there was lots of shots, it didn't feel like, to me, it didn't feel like Madrid were, goalmouth was under barrage of attack constantly. And I thought second half Madrid were the better team. So a really interesting game. Loved it. Sat up and watched it with my little lad, his first ever European final. So not really enjoyed it. And he's a Real Madrid fan, so he was delighted.
Fantastic news. Toby, how are you doing?
Good, mate. Also enjoyed Saturday's final thing. Liverpool pile on the pressure and Real doing a great job of being Real. And then I agree, second half, I thought Real were class. Casemiro was brilliant in defensive midfield and Danny Carvajal pocketed Luis Diaz, who's been one of the best players for the last 6 months. He was barely in the game. It
seemed like Danny Carvajal was finished about 2 years ago.
And he was great though, wasn't he? Yeah,
he was so good.
Me and Toby said that the weekend. We talked about that. We said how good he was. But I also said to my son, imagine how good this Real team are going to be when Rudiger slots in there and let Alaba go to left back. It's a frightening prospect that Real have got going on there.
Even Eden Militao was really good at the weekend as well.
His antics, though, he loves them in some ways, isn't he? He really is.
Why perfect Real Madrid?
I have a lot of time for that.
You've got to take someone needs that Pepe and Sergio Ramos role. And
if that's it. Yeah, he is the perfect. He's just the carbon copy of Pepe, isn't he? He really is.
Yes, we'll be talking today about Sadio Mane, who has pretty much announced since that game that he would like to leave Liverpool this summer. We'll talk Darwin Nunez. We'll talk Ivan Perisic on his way to Spurs. Chelsea's midfield options, Jorginho and Conor Gallagher, in the news on this podcast today. We'll talk Newcastle, Sven Botman, Moussa Diaby. We'll talk Max Cornet from Burnley as well. And maybe if we have time at the end, some stuff on Nottingham Forest, who've just been promoted back to the Premier League after 23 years, which is great to see him back. Just need a few more of the old guard from the 90s now back in the Premier League with Graham's Middlesbrough missing out, but maybe next year, Graham. This is obviously a brand new weekly show. We'll dig into the latest on the futures of the biggest names in world football, be it players or managers. And obviously, stay tuned throughout the show for all the chat on all of those players that I've just mentioned. But let's kick off with Sadio Mane then, because obviously, Mane, Mo Salah, Roberto Firmino, all out of contract in 2023 as it stands. 1 year left on their contracts, and Mane has essentially said to Liverpool that he would like to leave the club this summer. Is that our understanding, Graham? Does this exit look likely? What do we think is going to happen with Sadio Mane's future?
Yeah, he hasn't actually told Liverpool he wants to leave. Scott, I think he's playing this very sensibly. His agents and him are telling Liverpool they no longer want to hold contract talks. Yes, it means the same thing, basically. But they were due to meet this week. We understand that meeting probably will still take place, but they'll be told at that meeting they don't want to discuss terms, as we understand it. We did a story a few weeks ago, probably six now, that Liverpool will wait until the end of the season to talk terms with Mane. I don't think this went down very well with him or his camp, as they were talking to Mo Salah at the same time as well. And yeah, it's caught Liverpool by surprise, this has, but he's by no means out the door yet. He really isn't out the door yet. This could still come back to Liverpool. I know there's lots of talks in Germany. Ironically, Mane does have German agents, which some people have said to me, read into that what you will. They're pushing Bayern Munich very strongly. But terms are not agreed with Bayern Liverpool. No one spoke to Liverpool. This tends to be a trend. I said this to you, didn't I, Toby? It's a real trend at the moment. We've seen it with Lewandowski as well, where you can go off and agree terms and wages with another club. But if you haven't even approached your current club, a deal is a long way. And I've seen reports suggesting less than £30 million to get Sadio Mane. If that's the case, you get some championship clubs bidding. It's a ridiculous price, I think. I think Liverpool if that's all he's worth on the open market, they'll keep him till next summer if that's all they're going to get.
Definitely. Toby, what are you making of it?
Well, we spoke a little bit a few weeks ago about player power, didn't we? And the fact that the dynamic is kind of shifting and that agents are having a more of a voice in the public domain and players are more willing to be more open about considering their options. I can see why Mane maybe feels a tad underappreciated. He's been fantastic again this season for them. And the fact that Liverpool were willing to talk to Mo Salah immediately and not talk to Mane until the end of the season has put his back out of joint somewhat, and I get it. It's interesting. I also said I don't see Bayern Munich moving for Mane. I can't see how that fits. But the Lewandowski story is continuing to play out, that he is trying to force an exit from Barcelona to Barcelona as we record this. He said another statement basically saying, I'm not continuing at Bayern. It's the end of my career there, etc. So Bayern probably do want Mane quite badly now. And if that figure that Graham mentioned is at all achievable, they're absolutely going to do it. But I agree, 25 million for a 30-year-old who's still at the very peak of his powers. Is there any point Liverpool selling? They might as well just hold on, surely.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, guys, because obviously his wage structure-wise, he was wanting to be the highest paid player to a certain extent. He was wanting just above Van Dijk, about £300,000 a week, which is probably his market value. He wasn't asking Mo Salah money, 400, 450. He wasn't asking that. He was probably, and I don't think it would put anyone's nose out at Liverpool if they gave Sadio Mane 300,000. I think that's about right. Would he get that by Munich? I'd imagine he would. It's a very interesting one. I have my suspicions here. I think Liverpool might fight back here. I think we might see a bit of a bite back from Liverpool's end, and they won't, if they don't want to make this easy for Mane. I'm not sure he's the type of player who'll demand a move, but as you said, with what's going on at Bayern Munich at the moment, it's an interesting one. We saw Patrick Schick just sign his new contract, because I for life of me thought Schick would be the natural replacement for Lewandowski. But he's put that to bed only last week by signing a new deal at Bayer Leverkusen, who are looking, having a very good summer. But yeah, it's a really interesting how it's playing out there. Bayern, I don't think Bayern are letting Lewandowski go without a replacement. And so it could be a long, drawn out summer here.
Not too many people on the market to replace somebody like Lewandowski, is there?
There's a player we've got to talk to in a minute, isn't it? Darwin Nunez is becoming very topical, but we've not heard Bayern in for him, really. Obviously, he's not cheap. You know, he's going to be expensive. There's a few out there, like a Jonathan David, Osimhen from Napoli. But again, they all come with pretty sizable price tags.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's talk Darwin Nunez then, because Graham, there's a piece to go on 90min.com around his future. Obviously, plays at Benfica at the moment. George Mendes' representation. We all know what George Mendes can do. And Benfica are looking at potential replacements for Nunez in preparation of a sale. But what are we understanding is the latest on Darwin Nunez, and which parties are we expecting to get involved in this?
From what we're hearing, Scott, yeah, we've done a piece that in talks are going on between intermediaries. You know, read between the lines, George Mendes and the two clubs, basically. who else needs to get involved? You know, he helps run both clubs. He's got very strong ties at both clubs.
Wolves?
Yeah, you know, Wolves might jump in. And yeah, Darwin Nunez wants to come to England. That's what we believe. Are there a lot of takers? You know, you could see maybe a Chelsea coming out the woodwork. We've heard that Liverpool have inquired, have been kept informed of the situation, because let's not forget with Mane, Liverpool needs someone who can play that centrally as well. So if they lose Mane, it's a big if. But no, as it stands, Manchester United are firmly at the head of the queue for Darwin Nunez. The way it's shaping out, Scott, at the moment, we understand we spoke about Pau Torres, Julian Timber. I think we'll hear a lot more on Frankie de Jong, the story we did a few weeks ago. I think we'll hear a lot more on that in the coming weeks. So with Darwin Nunez, I think they're emerging as the real four targets for United, which must excite you, Scott, a lot, because they're four wonderful players. But with Nunez, yeah, we understand that it's getting to the point now where Benfica are looking around for possible help and replacements. And one surprising thing we've been informed at 90 Min is that Benfica are looking towards Watford. And possibly not even the Watford player, you might think. And not Emmanuel Dennis, not Ismaili Sarr, but João Pedro, the young Brazilian, who I actually quite like, actually. I think he's a very good player. And you can see him doing very well in Portugal. He's only 20. He came over, or is he, I forget his age now, 20, 22. Anyway, he's very
young. Definitely early 20s, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of potential. He was played out wide in the Premier League. He had scored 9 goals in the Championship in his first season. Very good. So, yeah, he's a player who Benfica were looking at who could be brought in. He wouldn't come cheap. Well, I say cheap. He's probably 10, 12, 15 million now Watford have been relegated. But I think he's a very interesting name. But it shows where we are with Nunes, Scott, is, yeah, they're looking for replacements. They're accepting that he's going to go. A fee of 68 million is being widely accepted as what it'll take to get him. And that's not, you know, 68 million for Nunes, if it does turn out to be that, I don't think that's a bad amount, actually. And it's just a little bit more than Toby's West Ham were willing to pay. And unfortunately for Toby, it doesn't look like West Ham are getting back in this race, Toby. I'm
just going to say, I can't believe that we're ruling the massive West Ham out of this race for Darwin Nunes. But I can understand why Manchester United might be a bigger pool for him. They can offer him Europa League football, can't they, Scott, after all, which is the pinnacle of football these days. But no, he's brilliant, isn't he?
It's the best club competition there is, Toby.
Well, it was this season, but I think going into next season, everyone's eyes are going to be on the Conference League. That's where real bread and butter of European football. But I did a bit of a stats dive on Darwin Nunes just to see how good he is. 26 in 28 league games for Benfica last year. I'm not a big XG person, but I thought I'd have a look at those numbers as well. 15.73, which says to me that he's very, very good in front of goal. If his goal ratio is 10 more than what his XG output should be. 6 of those goals in 10 Champions League appearances. 6'2". He's deceptively quick. He can dribble. He links up play quite well. He holds the ball up well.
It's lazy, isn't it, Toby? But he is, very much Cavani-esque, isn't it? I know it's a very easy comparison to make, but you know, there's no doubting he has moulded his game on Cavani, is he? You know, he's grown up with him and stuff, and so I know it's very easy and lazy for us to link that, but he is very comparable.
He's also good in the channel, I believe. He drifts out to the left quite a lot, which we've talked about modern football. Forwards need to be able to kind of play across the front line. So if there's interchangeable options there for Erik ten Hag, then he's going to appeal even more.
Coming back to you, Graham, is there any kind of, obviously listed 4 players that United are looking at, is there any priority order in terms of positions?
It's a strange one. I think the midfield, I think De Jong, you know, if that's the one he wants, really, I think he would also like a defensive midfielder, but he might be thinking if you put De Jong there, might one of McFred be able to do a job behind him, possibly. But let's not rule out Van der Beek. A Van der Beek, De Jong midfield, I would not rule out the equation. Does he go through? You know, I do wonder, does he look at a 3 at the back? If he's bringing in Timber and Torres, I do wonder. You know, I'm not sure I see Timber in a back 2 in the Premier League, given his height and stature. Although, as we said before, he's been likened to a Gallas who had no problems playing in a 4. But I do wonder, given the amount of centre-halves there is at United, where the back 3 might be the way to go. You know, Harry Maguire does it very well for England in a 3. So I think that's something that should be considered. And, you know, I think De Jong might emerge as that man who the one, but I think he's pushing for the ball, Scott. I really is. I think he's pushing. He knows the areas he wants, so it's clearly midfield, up front. You know, Cavani's leaving, isn't he? So he needs to be replaced. And centre-half, maybe surprisingly to some, it looks to be a priority, Scott.
Yeah, United also, they have intentions to spend in the summer, but they also have some clearing out to do as well of a lot of players who are on big contracts or can potentially fetch some transfer fees. I know that Jamie Spencer, 90 Min writer, once tipped Anthony Martial to score hundreds of Premier League goals. I don't think that's going to happen unless he ends up moving to a Premier League rival at some point. But yeah, it looks like a busy summer for United.
It's interesting you mentioned Martial, because I think that loan as well will, you know, that was all United's fears rolled into one. They paid for that loan, let him go out there with the risk that if he doesn't do it, his market value has dropped off a cliff. Mm-hmm. He had the likes of Dortmund, Inter. We know looking at him, it was also, I can't remember, there was Atletico Madrid looking at him strongly before he went on this ill-fated loan move to Seville. And PSG were looking as well, Scott. They were liked him in January. Now, you know, who's going to take him now?
Did he score a Liga goal for Sevilla? I don't think he did he?
No, and the Sevilla fans, I know a lot of them like to blame him for their, they dropped down to 4th place, I think, didn't they? Yeah, they were when he joined them, let's not forget, Sevilla were challenging for the title at that point.
I'll also add that he was anonymous against West Ham in the Europa League, which was lovely because he's been our enemy when he's playing.
Yeah, he scored a few against West Ham, hasn't he? Yeah. We'll see what happens with him. And a nice little tie-in here, actually. Manchester United once tried to replace, or Jose Mourinho once wanted to replace Anthony Martial with Ivan Perisic all those years ago. Didn't get his wish. Mm. United stuck to their guns, kept Martial, and it's not really worked out for them. And now Ivan Perisic is on his way to Spurs, by the looks of it. What do we make of this, Graham? Is this as done as we understand it to be? Is this a good signing for them?
Yeah, it's a done deal. He rejected Juventus, a deal to stay Inter, and Chelsea to go to Tottenham. So he's a wanted man. It's an interesting day. I think it tells us how Antonio Conte wants to play going forward. He's clearly wanting even more attacking wing-backs. I thought Reguilon did okay for them. I thought he was okay. Not a bad signing from a previous regime. I thought he was pretty good. I think it may be a sign that he may be on his way out because we know Sessegnon did very well. So Perisic and Sessegnon, I don't think there's any room for Reguilon. I wonder whether we see him going back to the Bernabeu. He was linked. And so I think he could have a role to play there, possibly. But he's an interesting option for someone. But yeah, I think it'll tell us as well what he wants to do on the right-hand side. I think you'll see him now going out to get that right wing back. And I do wonder whether they go back for a Adama Traore. I wouldn't be surprised. So I think by signing Perisic, it does tell us the way he's going to balance his team out.
Perisic is a two-footed player with a bit of a killer instinct as well. I think I was speaking to a Tottenham fan earlier today, and I think the frustration with the wing-backs was that when they get into those positions to put a cross in to, you know, to square it to Harry Kane or something like that, or they have a chance to shoot on goal, Reguilon hasn't really done it. But Toby, it's a good signing for Spurs, isn't it, despite his age?
Oh, that's a brilliant signing. Yeah, he's 33, but watching him play, he doesn't play like a 33-year-old. He's got the energy of a 26, 27-year-old player in his prime. He rarely lets you down. I think is the thing you can say about Perisic, and he can be overwhelmingly good. We saw it in the World Cup on the international stage, how devastating he can be, and he's had great success at Inter. Interestingly, he actually left Inter, didn't he, during Conte's first season to go on loan at Bayern Munich, and then came back in Conte's second season. They won Serie A and he was a key figure for him. And you touched on Reguilon there, Graham. I think he did do a relatively good job, but he had some howling games as well. And defensively, he's not up to much. And there's a £27.5 million buyback clause, I believe, for Real Madrid.
Still exists.
I think it still exists. I think it was 2 years after he left. So that possibly runs until September. And of course, Marcelo has announced that he's leaving. So Real Madrid might need an additional left back. That doesn't really blow the budget too much if they want to take him back. And Sessegnon did quite well towards the end of the season, so I can see him being the backup to Perisic going forward.
Graham, you mentioned that Perisic turned down Chelsea to rejoin Conte at Tottenham. Ties us in nicely to the midfield chat, because we've spoken about Chelsea in the last few weeks. Obviously, Conor Gallagher, and midfield's going to be a position that needs addressing this summer. Let's just say it that way, because Conor Gallagher's had a good season at Crystal Palace. Technically, or he's due to come back from a loan deal with them. What happens with him? But we also understand that Chelsea are looking at potentially moving on some of the older heads in midfield, one of them being Jorginho. Is that right?
Yeah, it's an interesting circumstance at Chelsea, because I do understand from people within the club that they are pushing Tuchel to switch to a back four, allowing an extra midfielder. Ideally, they would like Mason Mount to drop back in there. You know, can you imagine a Kovacic, Mount and Gallagher midfield? It'd be pretty mouth-watering, really. But obviously, as it stands, they don't do that because they've got a back three. But yeah, Jorginho and Kante, I think we spoke about this before, they're both out of contract in 2023. And they're not going to give big new contracts to both these players. And Jorginho is the easiest to move, and that's what we understand. And he does quite fancy a move back to Italy. There's interest from Juventus, Lazio, Maurizio Sarri loves him. There's a chance for him to go back there. So I think there's a big chance that Jorginho does leave this summer with the best wishes of the club. But, you know, they need to make room. Gallagher's coming back. I don't buy into any of this. From my understanding, is that Gallagher's set for talks with Tuchel and will make it clear that he wants to play for Chelsea. And I think he'll get that chance. And I don't think he'll look back. I think I think Gallagher will go on to be a better player than Mason Mount, personally. I like Mason Mount a lot, but I think I just think Gallagher's just special.
Big statement, Toby.
It's a big statement, isn't it? Because Mason Mount is the hot property at Chelsea, and he can play in multiple positions. I think that's what makes Mount so good, is that he's versatile enough to play in central midfield. He can play as a 10. He can play on the left. Conor Gallagher's got a great skill set, and he had a very good season under Patrick Vieira at Crystal Palace, and I'd be very surprised if he were to leave Chelsea to go on loan again. I think he's ready. And I think he's got a better all-round game than Jorginho, and crucially, he's more mobile. Jorginho's, what, 30? Has had a couple of injuries this season. He's only going to get slower. Gallagher's 22, 23. It's proven he can do it now. It's the logical step for Chelsea to look forward to. And I don't think there's much of a risk, to be honest. So get Jorginho off the books, get a small fee. It doesn't have to be a big fee.
I think what helps Gallagher as well, obviously, Toby, is the fact that Chelsea have missed out on too many. So I think that will be a big boost to Gallagher, because I think if they got him, I think there may have been that option to loan him out again. But the fact they've missed out on him, obviously his talks with Madrid are ongoing, but I think the fact they missed out on him tells us there'll be a chance for Gallagher. It also did tell us that they were wanting to make changes in there. The fact they were in for him tells us they were looking to change things up anyway.
Yeah, Chelsea have promoted from within over the last few years. We mentioned this a few weeks ago, I think, but there's obviously a lot of academy talent in that team. Conor Gallagher looking like he might be able to get his chance. Obviously, Levi Colwill as well, Graham, played in the playoff final. We'll see what Chelsea do, but they've got a lot of positions to address, central midfield being one of them, up front being another.
Left back as well, as we reported on 90 Min 2 weeks ago, Scott, it does look like Emerson will be the understudy to Ben Chilwell this season with Alonso. They are trying to move on.
Yes, indeed. Let's move up to Newcastle, Graham, because obviously we can't do a transfer show without Newcastle chat. Sven Botman, Moussa Diaby, talk to me.
Yes, the United who will be dominating the transfer window, we suspect. Sven Botman, yeah, is an interesting one. We do cover a lot of these Newcastle players where we're coming back to a lot. It's like January all over again, isn't it, for us in Newcastle? Ekitike is a name who we now know and love. We'll be coming back to him very soon, I believe, next few weeks. We'll be keeping an eye on Ekitike. I know the delight in both your eyes that Ekitike will be in the headlines again. But Sven Botman is a player who Newcastle went for very early in January. The player wanted to go, but then there was that thought of keeping him for the Champions League run, which they did. But then AC Milan made their move around February time, led by Paolo Maldini. He's agreed to move to the San Siro, but there's been an issue emerged there with the new owners at AC Milan where they've been waiting. But the strange thing is with this one, I've been talking to some Milan sources where Milan are not happy with what Botman's agents have been doing, because Renato Sanchez isn't in the same situation where they're waiting for the takeover to go through. It's imminent, and then they'll go through, they'll agree to move, and it'll happen. We're not seeing Renato Sanchez being linked with any other club. We know he's going to Milan. It's agreed. Botman was agreed. But, you know, Botman's people haven't been happy with the fact it hasn't gone through. They were speaking to Alessio Romagnoli again at Milan about keeping him. So now Botman's agents have gone out there and said to all the interested parties, look, this deal isn't done. You can still get him. And Newcastle, being a player they love, their interest has been tweaked again. It's emerged again. And this has got a real chance happening, guys. Newcastle love Botman, whether we agree with that or not. I'm not his biggest fan. You know, I saw him linked to United, which didn't make any sense, given that Erik ten Hag didn't rate him at Ajax. So why would he rate him at United? And this is what, yeah, I think Newcastle are trying for this, to try to get him. It's a reasonable price. And yeah, so we'll keep an eye on this one. Whether it's Milan takeover, I'm not massively up to date on that, but it's meant to be going through in the next 2 weeks. But Milan are not impressed with what Botman's been doing the last few days, and his agents. You know, we can always blame the agents. It probably is their fault anyway. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on this one. This is really interesting. Newcastle do want a centre-half. And another one they've just missed out on in the last week was Diego Carlos, who Aston Villa stepped up to take. A player who interested a lot of teams, West Ham, Tottenham. They all like the look of this guy. But the thing with Villa, they're not sitting around. They're going for these players. They're not umming and erring with anyone. They went and got Diego Carlos done. So great. Yeah, but Sven Botman, he's got a chance for Newcastle, wouldn't it? I think next few weeks we'll see at time with the Milan takeover or not. But yeah, and then again, who we didn't think we'd be talking so much about, but yeah, he's very much in Newcastle sights once again.
What of Moussa Diaby?
An interesting player, yeah. Another one who PSG have let go. I didn't realise he was a former PSG player, the same as Nkunku.
Mm-hmm.
PSG, whoever is in charge of their youth ranks, is doing a great job of bringing them through, but then a horrendous job of keeping them. You know, these are two young players who could be challenging for their first team. Nkunku will come back to, but Diaby, yeah, he's a player who Newcastle have identified. Seemingly, Newcastle do want a winger in this window. We saw they were linked after Jack Harrison as well. We know they like Rafinha. So with Diaby as well, and I've said this, and Toby knows, I do not like Alan Saint-Maximin. I think he's the most glorified winger in Europe.
You want to share his output, G, against the big Premier League?
Ah, yes, I haven't shared this with Scott. Scott, in Alan Saint-Maximin's time at Newcastle, what, approaching 3 years now, how many goals or assists do you think he's got against the top four?
The current top four.
Yeah, considering he's the most successful.
I know he scored against Man United last year.
Dribbling Europe. Yeah, we don't include Man United.
Yeah, they're not top four anymore. Goals and assists combined.
Yeah.
Under 10.
One.
Well, I was right.
3 years. So, mate, that just sums up his output. You don't sign. Newcastle don't want a winger who's just going to do it against Burnley every week. It's ridiculous. And so I think Saint-Maximin, we did do a story on this a few weeks ago where he's not getting a pay rise out of Newcastle. He said some nasty things in the French press that Eddie Howe managed very well, but that wouldn't have gone down well. I think they're replacing Saint-Maximin. Almiron to a lesser extent because he wasn't even in first team recognition anyway. He's going to go. But I think Saint-Maximin will be replaced here. And I think Diaby is one player. They think they can get him for 50 million. He's one of the best wingers in Germany. He's, I've got to get this right, he's right footed and comes in on his left, as is the modern day phenomenon. When was the last time we had a winger who just played on the same side as what he kicked with? It's a very strange thing.
Leroy Sané is the only one who really jumps out at me there, to be honest.
Yeah, there's not many of them nowadays. There's not many shouts to get to the byline and put it in anymore. Yeah. There's not none of the old Stuart Ripley's of this world.
We've already spoken about one, Ivan Perisic, but he's obviously playing more as a wing-back now.
Yeah, yeah, he's nastily converted.
Played on the left as well.
And Trippier does that for Newcastle, so they do suit the wingers come in. Diaby, yeah, this is a player who Newcastle like. They're in for... the chatter down player their budget, but yeah, Diaby is a very good player, and we think it'll take just over 50 million to get him out of Leverkusen, who are not in a hurry to sell. I think by Leverkusen, if they keep up their transfer window, they could challenge Dortmund next year. Adam Hložek, Schick is staying if they keep Diaby, a very, very good team. But yeah, Newcastle like this guy, but like this boy, guys, and a very exciting talent. And I think Newcastle are trying to go for young talent. That is one thing that's coming through. There'll be a few established names, but the likes of Diaby, Ekiteki, if they do go into Europe and spend money, it'll be for a young prospect.
Yes, it's definitely the right way to go.
Newcastle know, though, don't they, that they need to strengthen in the wing department. They've got Saint-Maximin, but who else have they got? Ryan Fraser, Jacob Murphy? That doesn't align with their...
Well, Joe Linton ended up out there quite a lot. And we'll see. Again, Newcastle, we knew this was coming. I think they've been linked after more players than we know. And Lucas Paqueta, another one who isn't a winger but can play out wide. Bruno's friend, he's been pictured in the... It's always nice when you see players pictured in the North East, and I think Bruno gave him a Newcastle shirt, but I think he'll be a bit too expensive, Paqueta, personally. But I think Diaby is in there, is what they would like to spend on a player and invest in.
Lucas Paqueta, sorry, last thing, Scott. Didn't do it against West Ham in Europa League either, so I wouldn't try him. Don't worry about it.
Very important litmus test. Can they do it against West Ham? If not, they're not worth it. Did Max Cornet do it against West Ham, Toby?
Max Cornet? You know what? I can't remember if Max Cornet did it against us. But I'll tell you what he did do, or has done, generated the interest of basically half of the Premier League. Burnley have obviously gone down. He signed a 5-year deal at Burnley when he joined last summer, but a £17.5 million relegation release clause was in that contract. That's obviously now active, and he is a player who can play left midfield, left wing. He can play up front in a two if necessary. He can even play at left back. And we did a story on 90min.com at the back end of last week to say that West Ham, Newcastle, Brighton, Everton, Wolves, Palace, Fulham, even Arsenal and Tottenham are looking at Cornet, the latter two as a potential option to cover at fullback. And he's wanted in Spain, Germany, and Italy as well. He's probably one of the more in-demand players on the market. And for 17.5 million, he'd be a steal for most of those sides. It's interesting as well. He actually only played, I do love my stats, 55% of minutes for Burnley last season. You just wonder, would they have gone down if he'd been playing a bit more? And that was actually Sean Dyche's decision for a lot of it. He wasn't injured. He was just on the bench. But he scored 9 goals. He's got quality. And, you know, Burnley missed that. They didn't have any real quality. Weghorst didn't really deliver when he came in January. And Cornet was kind of the man to get them on the cusp of survival. But he will now leave. That's a certainty, Graham.
Yeah, he's probably the most in-demand player of this Burnley squad. Just, it's, I wouldn't say decimated, but there's a lot of players going to leave. We know Tarkowski, me, Josh Brownhill, who's obviously likely heading to the London Stadium. So have you been taking a keen interest in him? Very good player. Nick Pope as well, the England goalkeeper. He'll be looking to move on. But yeah, Cornet's the most intriguing. 17.5 million, what does that buy you in England nowadays? That's a championship midfield now, isn't it? It's, you can't sign Premier League players for that. So no wonder all these teams are looking. 17.5 million for a proven Premier League performer. I didn't realise he'd scored 9 goals, Toby. 9 goals in that Burnley team is a lot. In that Burnley team. I watched them play. Any player getting 9 there is tantamount to 20 elsewhere. It really is. And continuing players on the left. No, a wonderful sign for someone.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise to see him actually turn up at Burnley in the first place, I think. But Burnley have... does it work this way? Have they been replaced in the Premier League by Nottingham Forest, who won the playoff final against Huddersfield at Wembley?
Well, I guess they were the last team to come up, so maybe.
They were, technically, and Burnley the last team to go down. So, you know, I think we can probably pass that. Forest, it's good to have them back. Maybe a bit lucky with some of those penalty decisions that they...
A bit.
Maybe a bit lucky. Bit lucky.
We won't get controversial here, yeah.
Yes, but Graham, so what's happening with the Forest squad now? Because obviously they've got a few players in on loan. You know, Brennan Johnson's been linked with a lot of different clubs as well, but he's just come up. Kind of excited about him, Welsh international. Hopefully he can fire us forward and to the World Cup if he gets on the pitch at the weekend. But what's you take us wherever you want to go, Graham.
Yeah, well, obviously there's a lot of deals to be done here for Forest. The first deal I want to do is for Jed Spence, Middlesbrough's second choice right back, who is on loan at City Ground. He's no Isaiah Spence, but he's a good player. And Middlesbrough hoping to get around 17 million for him. Arsenal and Tottenham are looking very strongly, but I believe he'll be staying at Forest from what I hear. They'll pay the money. Why wouldn't he? He loves playing under Steve Cooper, gets the best out of him. Same with Brennan Johnson. And it's a really interesting one. Brennan Johnson really does complicate the winger market. Toby's own West Ham are trying to sign Keane Lewis Potter. But a lot of these same teams who were looking at Lewis Potter were looking at Johnson. He won't be moving now. He'll be signing a new deal. Joe Worrell in defence did wonderfully well. And I think James Garner from your own Manchester United, I think he'll be staying put. So this Forest getting promoted will complicate things for a number of teams. And it'll, but I think they will spend money. And I say it'll take a lot of money to get Jed Spence in, 17 million, we think, but a new contract elsewhere. But a very exciting addition to the Premier League for us. But I don't think they'll be doing a Norwich. I don't think they'll be just be hanging around. Their Greek owners are going to be, yeah, not dishing out Newcastle-type money, but I think they'll give it a good go.
Do you have them staying up, Toby? And a question I wanted to ask you earlier as well is, will Newcastle finish above West Ham next season?
Well, I'm going to answer no on that just because I have full faith in David Moyes. But
we've got a United bet, haven't we? I'll go Newcastle. Toby West Ham, Scott Manu. See who comes out on top. The United.
It will be the fight for sixth. But no, I think West Ham can still outdo Newcastle, even though I fancy the Magpies to have a good season. Unfortunately, will Forest stay up? Maybe. Steve Cooper is a really good manager, and he's done an incredible job there because they were
Ponty Preeth, lad.
Watch out for, I think the thing is Steve Cooper as well, guys. Watch out which young English players he gets on loan. He is really trusted amongst a lot of Premier League managers to really bring your young players along. So he will have first dibs at a lot of good young players. Look what he's done to Jed Spence. He's the most in-demand right back in England almost from Middlesbrough Reserves. So I think, yeah, keep an eye out on what they do in the transfer market. But that loan market, I think Forest could do some really good business on the back of Steve Cooper.
Don't forget, Steve Cooper had the power to get Conor Gallagher out of his Charlton loan spell when he was at Swansea.
because Chelsea wanted him to work under Steve Cooper. Halfway through the season, they cut that one short. So I agree. I think Forest is going to be an attractive proposition for players to go and develop. And I would put them on a par with Brentford in terms of ability to survive. I thought Brentford were going to stay up last year, and obviously I was proven correct. They did far better than I thought they would. But Forest, I think, are of the same ilk. Steve Cooper is like Thomas Frank. He's a good coach and a good manager and a good tactician. And I think they will work it out quite quickly, even if it takes them a few games to find their feet. They'll adapt and they'll be all right.
Fingers crossed. It's good to... I'd like to see them stay up because I'd like to see them be in the Premier League for just a few years. It's good to have them back growing up in the 90s or whatever. You know, obviously, we all know Forest's history, but it was good to have them in the league. United once beat them 8-1 as well at the City Ground. So fingers crossed. That would be a nice 3 points for United next season, because I don't know where half of them are coming from at the moment, to be honest. But yes, thank you very much. We need to scoot now, but please subscribe on all your major podcast platforms and follow us on Twitter too, @_ScottSaunders, @GrahamBailey, and @Toby_Cudworth. This is Talking Transfers, a brand new show from the 90 Min Podcast Network. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you soon.